The title of this message is God's Eternal Purpose. And I'd like for you to open your Bibles with me. We're going to talk about God's eternal purpose, and I want you to see yourself in it. Because God doesn't want just to bless you. He doesn't want to just heal you of your cold or help you find another used car at a good deal. He doesn't want to just help you move or find all the details of your domestic life. He wants to connect you with His eternal purpose. And that's when you really come alive, when you realize that your life is bigger than all of the things around you, all of the things that you touch, all of the things that you see, and all of the things in the natural that you participate in. There's something much bigger and purposeful, more purposeful than that, and it's God's eternal purpose. And His call on your life as a disciple is to take you from the domestic into the extraordinary heavenly. And so we're going to talk about it today. Open your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 23, verse 10. I'm going to read about 14 verses to you here. And then I'd like you to keep your Bible handy and at this place, because we're going to look at some verses around it. But we're jumping right into the middle of a story that involves Paul the Apostle. He's just been beat up, thrown in prison, let out for a little while, and he's going to go back to prison. And this is taking place in Jerusalem. And so we read in Acts 23 and verse 10, "The dispute became so violent that the commander was afraid Paul would be torn to pieces by them." That's this Jewish mob. "He ordered the troops, the Roman troops, to go down and take him away from them by force and bring Paul into the barracks. The following night, Jesus came. The Lord stood near Paul and said, 'Take courage. As you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome.'" This is God's eternal purpose. "The next morning, the Jews formed a conspiracy and bound themselves with an oath not to eat or drink until they had killed Paul. More than 40 men were involved in this plot. They went to the chief priests and elders and said, 'We have taken a solemn oath not to eat anything until we have killed Paul. Now then, you and the Sanhedrin petition the commander," the Roman commander, "to bring him before you on the pretext of wanting more accurate information about his case. We are ready to kill him before he gets here. But when the son of Paul's sister," Paul's nephew, "heard of this plot, he went into the barracks and told Paul. Then Paul called one of the centurions and said, 'Take this young man to the commander. He has something to tell him.' So he took him to the Roman commander. The centurion said, 'Paul, the prisoner, sent for me and asked me to bring this young man to you because he has something to tell you.' The commander took the young man by the hand, drew him aside and asked, 'What is it that you want to tell me?' He said, 'The Jews have agreed to ask you to bring Paul before the Sanhedrin tomorrow on the pretext of wanting more accurate information about him. Don't give in to them because more than 40 of them are waiting in ambush for him. They have taken an oath not to eat or drink until they have killed him. They are ready now, waiting for your consent to their request.' The commander dismissed the young man and cautioned him, 'Don't tell anyone that you've reported this to me.' Then he called two of his centurions and ordered them, 'Get ready a detachment of 200 soldiers plus 70 horsemen plus 200 spearmen. That's 470 soldiers. And go to Caesarea at 9 o'clock tonight and provide a horse, a mount for Paul, so he may be taken safely to Governor Felix, and he wrote this letter. Let's pray. Lord, I ask you to get a hold of our hearts now, because we're not accidents on this earth. We're not just here by chance, but we're here to be connected with you and your eternal purpose. Lord, we ask for special provision. We ask for your care and your blessing. We ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen. This story is about two amazing Christians. One is Paul the Apostle, and the other is his 15-year-old nephew, whose name we don't even know. But your life is wrapped up in this story, because the greatest accomplishment that you can ever achieve is to learn to hear God and obey Him. Is that true? It's not that you say, well, Lord, give me this or help me with that. But if you can say, Lord, you made me. You're the one who created me. There's a purpose and a destiny for my life. And above all other things, I want to discover what that is. I want to know, Lord, what is my eternal purpose? And once you become a disciple, that's not just because you sign up on a church clipboard, but you become a disciple when you start hearing God and obeying Him. It's a personal thing. It's not just a church association. You become a personal disciple of the Lord Jesus. Once that happens, nothing is impossible for you. And you are on a journey that will take your whole life and go deeper and deeper into His plan for your life. The further you get, it won't get easier. It will be riskier. It will be more fearful. God will have you go places if you become His disciple that you're not ready for, that you cannot by yourself accomplish what is set before you. But it's God who is at work in you, both to do and to will of His good pleasure. It's all about His eternal purpose. He will guide you and lead you if you give your life to Jesus. And let me say, He is interested in every detail of your life. He's very interested in who you marry, in what TV programs you watch, what kind of food you eat, how well you look after your body, how you teach your children, how you teach your friends, how you teach your parents, how you treat your parents. He's very interested in all of the details of your life, your health, your finances, even your car battery in the cold weather. He's interested in it all. But He still wants to bring you into something that's bigger than yourself and your world. It's His eternal purpose. Today I want to honor a special servant of the Lord. Bob Jones went to be with the Lord on the 14th of February, 2014. He was an amazing prophet, perhaps the clearest prophet, although whenever he spoke to you, as he did with me many times, it's always in the abstract, and you have to find out what it really means. But if you do, you'll find it will be a life-changing word of God. He was a prophet who, when he was just a boy, the angel Gabriel came and visited him. Since that time, after he really started to pick up the mantle, he prophesied over thousands and thousands of church leaders in nations around the world, giving many of them their life message. I remember the first time I met Bob Jones. I was leading intercessors for Canada, and we had some large conferences that about 3,000 people would attend every year. And the administrator had already met Bob Jones, and he had come up to be a part of his church. And so he took me out for lunch with Bob Jones, and I met him. I didn't know who he was. And we sat down overlooking Niagara Falls from a beautiful picture window while we were eating our meal. And Bob Jones started to talk, and he wouldn't stop. And he started to talk about a young boy. And as I was listening, I said, well, that sounds a lot like my experience. And then he started to talk about a young man, and I thought, well, that sounds a lot like my experience. And after about half an hour of telling the story, I said, are you talking about me? He said, of course I'm talking about you. And he went on and prophesied over my future and over my life for the next half an hour. So he prophesied for about an hour over my life. That's the first time I met him, about 20 years ago. Since that time, I've had many, many encounters. He came and stayed in our home and was a powerful man of God. I remember about 9 years ago now, I came and I was here. We were just being in the Carolinas, coming down from Canada for a couple of years. And we went and visited Morningstar. And Rick Joyner asked me to come and sit with him because Rick and I were good friends. We had brought him up to Canada to preach on many occasions. And so he came and asked me to sit there. And so I sat beside him and Bob Jones. And there was another speaker up the front preaching. And I was so embarrassed because Bob Jones wouldn't stop talking to me. During the whole worship time and during the whole preaching, he would take my arm and say, well, Peter, and he would start prophesying and prophesying and prophesying over me. And I'd say, thank you, Bob. I'm trying to be a good Christian and listen to the message from Pastor Robin. And Bob didn't care a hoot about what was going on anywhere else except what God had given him and what he had to share. He wasn't talking just about, you know, what are you going to do for lunch today? He wasn't just shooting the breeze, so to speak. He was speaking the word of God, and it just cut across everything else. On that occasion, it was just actually early this week, before Bob passed away, I was looking for a password that I had forgotten from one of the computer things. And it was in a special box, and I went through it, and there I found the few words that I wrote down of that prophecy 9 years ago, just this week, when I went and sat there in Morningstar and Bob, through the service, spoke to me. And I'll tell you a little bit of it. It was 15 years ago when I came to the Carolinas to minister and visit with Derek Prince Ministries. And during that time, I went for a walk in the woods and I came face to face with a black panther. I won't tell you anything more about it, but that's how Bob Jones, about 9 years ago, opened up his prophetic word to me. He said, you came here and you saw the Black Panther. And he said, that was God's invitation for you to come to the Carolinas. And then he talked about some healing in my own personal life. And then he said this. He said, Peter, you understand God's purposes for Israel, but you do not yet understand God's purposes for the United States of America. But you will. And when you do, God will use you for great things across this nation. Since that time, I've preached quite a lot about the United States of America and God's special calling for the end times, for this land and for her people and for the church in America. Well, I won't say anything more, except to say that it was just on Valentine's Day when God took Bob Jones home to his celebration service in the heavens. It's fitting because I don't know if I ever met a major man of God who was more tender-hearted and more sweet and loving than Bob Jones. You know, I'm sure you do by now, that an earthquake came on that day when he died. Just 3 days ago. And it was 4.1 on the Richter scale. Unusually large for the Carolinas. It wasn't an accident. This man, Bob Jones, was involved all the time with God's eternal purpose. We will miss him greatly. Now you have to judge prophecy. And there were some things he said to me that I really had to put on the shelf. I remember going to Pastor Robin McMillan once and saying, Bob Jones is the most abstract prophet I have ever met. Because he would talk about things that, you know, were just out there. But then there were times, and I'm not saying that those words weren't from God, just I haven't discovered what they mean yet. But there were so many powerful words. Most of IHOP, the International House of Prayer with Mike Bickle, was really put in motion by the prophecies of Bob Jones. A lot of what's happened at Morningstar likewise. And many, many other great ministries around the nation. I remember times when Bob Jones came and visited us here and prophesied over us as a people. So we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this man of God. There's a hole, isn't there? I have a little pain in my stomach because I'll miss him till I see him again when we're in heaven. But Lord, would you raise up more like him? Would you raise up 100 men and women of God with as much anointing and prophetic gifting as Bob Jones, who will be connected to your eternal purpose? So what about you? Please don't fake it. We don't need some shabby man-made prophecy. We don't need it. It will set people on a wrong track, even if it has good intentions in it and nice flowery words. It's the time for us to really hear from God and to test things and say, Lord, too many lives are at stake. Too many people are hanging in the balance. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, let them be accurate. Let them be from heaven. Let them be the word of God. I do not encourage you to be silent. I just encourage you to pay the price to speak with authority the words of God. It is not easy. It will cost you a lot to be a woman of God. It will cost you everything to be the man of God that he has called you to be. Here we have this amazing story of Paul the Apostle. He had such a calling on his life, kind of like Bob Jones from when he was young. I want you to look at Acts chapter 22, and we read there that Paul's telling his story to the Jews in Jerusalem about what happened to him when he was on his way to Damascus to take Christians and put them in prison because they weren't Jewish. And he was working with the Jews. And then it says in verse 6, about noon, as I came near Damascus, suddenly a bright light from heaven flashed around me. I fell to the ground and heard a voice say to me, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Verse 8, who are you, Lord? I asked. I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting, he replied. My companions saw the light, but they did not understand the voice of him who was speaking to me. So this was the first time Jesus appeared and spoke to Paul, whose name is Saul here, but he's changed it to Paul. And he's not even saved yet. Some of you haven't yet seen Jesus face to face, and you've been saved for 50 years. Verse 10, what shall I do, Lord, I asked. Get up, the Lord said, and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all that you have been assigned to do. Here he is just at the place he hasn't even yet been really saved, and God's already telling him about the work he's supposed to do, about the eternal purpose for his life. You might say, I haven't been a Christian long enough. I haven't yet gone to Bible school. I haven't had my training. I haven't become official. But the calling of the Lord for your eternal purpose, God can bring to you in a moment of time. While you're lying upon your bed tonight, God could send an angel or speak to you so profoundly that something is set in your life that will give you direction for the rest of your days. So it was with Paul. And we read on. Verse 10. What shall I do, Lord? Get up, the Lord says, and go into Damascus. There you will be told all that you have been assigned to. My companions led me by hand into Damascus because the brilliance of the light had blinded me. See, it's often that great trouble comes at the same time that a great move of God comes in your life. Don't think we think because you're having bad times in the natural that God is not with you. Don't think he is judging you. Verse 12, a man named Ananias, another prophet, came to see me. He was a devout observer of the law. He was Jewish and highly respected by all the Jews living there. And he stood beside me and said, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that very moment, I was able to see. So here's a Jewish man abiding by the Jewish law who just comes and lays hands on him and he's healed. And then he says, the God of our fathers has chosen you to know his will and to see the righteous one. Who's the righteous one? Can you say it louder? Jesus. That's right. God has chosen you to know his will and his purpose and to see Jesus and to hear words from Jesus' own mouth. That's what you've been chosen for. That's good to be chosen like. Wouldn't you like that? Say, yes, Lord, I'll take that, please. I'm chosen to have regular visits from Jesus where I see him, understand what my goal is in life, and Jesus talks to me face to face in the flesh. I think that would be a pretty good deal. And so he goes on. He says, you've been called to that. Now, what are you waiting for? Get up and be baptized. Get saved. I guess you're going to wash your sins away calling on his name. When I returned to Jerusalem, I was praying at the temple. Paul says, and he went to Jerusalem and he's at the temple. And he starts to pray. And I fell into a trance and the Lord appeared to him again. Jesus appeared to Paul now a second time in just a few days. And said the Lord, and saw the Lord speaking. Quick, Jesus said to me, leave Jerusalem immediately because they will not accept your testimony about me. Lord, Paul says, I replied, these men know that I went from one synagogue to another to imprison and beat those who believe in you. And when the blood of the martyr Stephen was shed, I stood there giving my approval and guarding the clothes of those who were killing him. In other words, how can these Jewish people want to kill me? I was one of them doing some bad things to Christians just a little while ago. And Jesus responded, verse 21, then the Lord said to me, go, I will send you far away to the Gentiles. And when the Jewish people heard him tell this story, they wanted to kill him. If you read, we can't read it all, but you'll find they beat him, and the Roman soldiers had to rescue Paul from being torn apart by the Jewish people. We saw it in Haiti. We saw a biblical stoning this past year. It was a frightful thing to see. When a mob of 100 men starts to get a demonic, violent surge among them. It is such an evil. Murder will happen. And that's what was about to happen to Paul. And so then we read in chapter 23 and verse 10, the dispute became so violent that the commander was afraid Paul would be torn to pieces by them. He ordered the troops to go down and take him away from them by force and bring him into the soldiers' barracks. There's a prison there, military police prison. And in verse 11, it happens again. The following night, the Lord Jesus stood near Paul and said, "Take courage. As you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must testify in Rome." God's eternal purpose for Paul. He says, you're called to have regular visits from Jesus. Here's three in just these two chapters. Three personal visits from Jesus, the Son of God, in the flesh, coming and speaking with him and giving him direction. Not just a bright shining light. I mean, face to face, talking with God. And then he says, you're going to minister here. You're going to minister there. You're going to be a witness to me in Jerusalem. And then you're going to also go to Rome and be a testimony to me there. This was God's eternal purpose for Paul. The result was that Paul would eventually go and witness about Jesus Christ to the leaders of the world. That was his call on his life. Now, some of you may not have seen an angel. I have. I was visited by angels, at least on one occasion, and perhaps a couple. There were two occasions in my life when I believe I heard the voice of the Lord, but I did not see him. But I heard an audible voice. Some of you have not experienced that. And I want to suggest to you that the miraculous things, especially visitations of angels and a visitation from Jesus himself, comes when you are connected with God's eternal purpose. Comes to put you in a right place with God's eternal purpose. See, Moses was called to take 2 million Israelites out of Egypt, little children, moms, pregnant ladies, out into the desert. Just imagine if you felt, you just had an idea. All of these 2 million people are slaves. I can rescue them. You have no money. You have no facilities. You're just going to say, come and follow me. We're going out into the desert. If you had any sense and any compassion, you would know that most of them would die if you took them there. And you, if you were a good person, would never, ever do that. Unless you had a burning bush experience. God spoke out of a bush that was on fire and said, Moses, take your shoes off. You're on holy ground. Go and set my people free. And then you would say yes. And Paul, he wasn't afraid. He could go travel the world, go wherever God had put him, be thrown in prison, be beaten, whatever, because Jesus appeared to him on regular occasions and gave him direction. He was connected with God's eternal purpose. But now there's another person in the story, isn't there? He's just a teenager. He's maybe 15 years old. He's more like you and me. He's Paul's nephew. The Apostle Paul had a sister. Amazing. And she had a son. And this son We don't even know his name. But he just wanted to be like his Uncle Paul. He wanted to be connected. He wanted to learn. He wanted to be a disciple of Uncle Paul. He wanted to emulate him, follow him, and one day be just like him. He watched as everything was taking place and his uncle was being beaten and then taken by Roman soldiers. How the mob, the whole city of Jerusalem, it says, was in an uproar and wanted to kill him. And here's the 15-year-old in the crowd who loves Paul, his uncle. And after he sees Paul, his uncle gets put in prison, he goes back to the temple like a spy. And he's listening. If you go up on the Temple Mount, you know how big it is? 32 acres. That big area where the Golden Dome of the Rock is, all around it, way up on that Temple Mount, is 32 acres. There are hundreds of people up there at any time. And they're gathering in little groups and they're talking, and there's religious people and their workers. And as he was up there, he sees some of the priests and the members of the Sanhedrin, and he goes over and listens to what they're talking about. When you come with us to Israel, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. And then he sees ninjas, samurai. He sees Jewish assassins, guys who are under a curse. Because the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 27, cursed is the man who takes a bribe to kill an innocent person. And there was more than 40 of them, trained killers. And they went to the priests and said, communicate to the commander to have Paul brought before you so that you can question him. And we will wait in ambush. And when he comes, we'll break through the Roman soldiers and we'll kill Paul the apostle. So here is the 15-year-old boy. He's listening to all of this. And after he hears it, he takes off. I can see him running through the streets of Jerusalem till he comes to the barracks, probably at Antonio's fortress, which is just at the far end of the Temple Mount. And there he went in to the barracks of the soldiers, the Roman soldiers, and he asked, where's Paul being kept? I'm his nephew. And some centurion soldier took him through the hallways and the corridors and brought him to Paul's cell. And he tells him the whole story. And then Paul says to the centurion, would you take this young man to your commander? He has something very important to tell. So now this 15-year-old boy, he was so courageous. He was so much a disciple and so much on fire for God. And right here at this moment, he didn't see an angel. He did not have a personal visit with Jesus, but he is involved with God's eternal purpose. And he goes before the commander and he tells him the whole story. The commander pulls him aside so no other soldiers can hear. And he says, young man, thank you for sharing this with me. Don't tell anybody that you told me. And then he calls two of his centurions and he says, I want you to gather, form a detachment of 470 soldiers, 70 horsemen, 200 spearmen, and 200 foot soldiers. Give Paul a horse, and by 9 o'clock tonight, I want you riding toward Caesarea. It all came together very quickly, and with officials and others who might have been in that company, there was close to 500 people protecting Paul. And they went that night, through the night, some on horseback, some walking. In formation, they walked 30 miles. They came to Antipatris, which is about halfway to Caesarea. And there they disembarked, and all the foot soldiers went back to Jerusalem. And then the 70 horsemen and Paul, the next day, rode to Caesarea to stand before the governor of Judea, the Roman governor, whose name was Felix. Now let's talk about this young man, because you're just like him. You love God. You want to see the prophetic word of God accomplished in your life. Maybe some of you here have seen an angel. I wouldn't doubt it. But not everybody. And some of you are saying, oh, I wish I could see an angel. I wish I had that kind of experience in my life. But this young man, he was used of God in a powerful way. Because first of all, the Lord Jesus made sure he was at the right place at the right time to hear this plot. Secondly, he got access into the barracks of the soldiers to go and visit Paul. Thirdly, he got to go before the Roman commander. And fourth, as a result of it, the commander organized almost 500 soldiers to get Paul on his way to Caesarea and on his way to Rome to fulfill the word of the Lord in his life. So here the Lord, before this happens, tells Paul. He says, Paul, as you've been a witness and a testimony for me here in Jerusalem, so you will also testify of me in Rome. And then it's like the angels say, so, how are we going to make this happen? How is God's eternal purpose going to get Paul to Rome? Yeah, first class, all expenses paid. Thank you. Well, after Jesus appeared to him, Paul gets beaten. If it happened to you, you'd probably think everything that God had ever said to you was not happening. Especially if some person said it to you. Now, if Jesus came and told you, you would still hang on to it. But this boy, he's up on the Temple Mount. He hears the plot. He goes to Paul. He goes to the commander. The commander organizes this huge military entourage. And Paul is taken to Caesarea on the coast, where 100,000 Roman soldiers are stationed. And he's going to be on his way to Rome 2 years later. What about this young boy? Was he in the purposes of God? If you were an unbeliever, you would say it was just circumstance. Wasn't it lucky that boy was up on the Temple Mount just at the right time to hear what those guys were saying, how they were going to kill Paul? What a coincidence. Do you think it was coincidence? Do you think it had anything to do with luck? Or do you think that God was using a 15-year-old boy for his eternal purpose? Now listen, the circumstances in your life, if you're a disciple of the Lord, you've got these kind of circumstances happening all the time. You're finding that happens usually at the nick of time. Even past when you think the time is necessary for it to happen, God shows up. Something happens. Circumstances come together. The purposes of God happen. I could tell you 100 stories without opening a page of my notes of circumstances where God divinely orchestrated the situation to show his way and his eternal purposes. And all of you disciples have that in your life. But some of you need more faith. And especially after you've been a Christian for for some time, and when you're going through real heavy battles and all hell's breaking out against you, those circumstances that once upon a time showed you that God was with you and He was leading you become very faint, and you begin to question them and wonder whether they were really from God. But if you ever see Jesus, or if an angel ever comes and appears to you, or if before your eyes you see such an undeniable, extraordinary miracle, like the time when I saw somebody raised from the dead, those things will never leave you. They're with you to encourage your faith forever. So now I close. And we come back to the theme of your eternal purpose. If you're His disciple, He's guiding your steps, opening the door, connecting you with people, putting you in the right place at the right time. You can see His fingerprints on your life. It's a regular occurrence for disciples. If you have faith to see it, you will see it. Some of you, coming to this church was part of that. And God's eternal purposes are in it. However, if you're only concerned about what car you're going to buy, what house you're going to buy, what food you're going to put on the table for your family this week, if you're only concerned about your health and the physical things around you, you might not step out into what you were called for and what you were made for. You might not be involved with God's eternal purpose. Listen, this is not just for the great Apostle Paul. It's for his nephew. It's for the 15-year-old. God, where are you? Where are you in my life? Will you capture my heart? Lead me. Use me. Have your way with me. Your biggest failures and your biggest heartaches are not to be compared with the glory that God has for you. Please don't let those things drag you into a mud puddle of despair. But lift your eyes and say, I'm better than that. Because God has made me. And He is the one who is my strength and my source. And my will is to do the will of the one who saved me and called me. Every morning, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning, I'm up long before the sun is, and I'm in my prayer room, and I'm saying, Lord, it'd really be nice to see an angel. And I'm opening my Bible and saying, will you show me what your word is for me today? And I'm giving him thanks, and I'm praying for many of you and others around the nation. And in that time, an hour or two before the Lord, I start to worship Him, to give Him thanks for all of His goodness. And my spirit starts to rise, and the word of the Lord comes to me. And by the time the sun is up, my spirit is up. And I am ready to walk in the purposes of God. To cast out a demon, to heal a sick man, to preach the word of God, and more than all of those things, to walk so closely with the Lord Jesus that I would be known as His son, His close son. I want to hear from Him, and I want to walk in step with the call of God for today. Because my life is all about God's eternal purpose for me. Now, what about you? Your life, the most important thing, your greatest accomplishment, is to hear from God and obey Him. Amen. It has to do with you finding out what is God's eternal purpose. And when the eternal purposes of God are functioning in you, I'll tell you what happens. It changes you inside. It changes people around you. It changes communities. It changes nations. Ultimately, it changes the whole world. That's God's eternal purpose. When you're part of it, get ready for supernatural visitations. Now I want to pray for you that this week, new doors will open, the heavens will open, dreams will come, and you will step out in God's eternal purpose. Will you pray with me? Please stand. Hold your hands out in front of you. In a minute, we're going to have the prayer team come to the front. And if you would like more prayer, I really encourage you to come and to let the prayer team pray with you. But let's dedicate our lives to the Lord now, shall we? Say this prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for saving me. Today I rededicate my life to you, that I might walk in your eternal purpose for my life. I give my life to you, that I might do that which is important, that which is the most important. I, by faith, connect my heart with heaven and dedicate my life to hear from you, to walk with you, to obey you, and to see your glory come, regardless of the cost or how fearful it might be. I will go forth in the ways of the Lord, and I will be a son or daughter of God. I receive your blessing on my life and on my family. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now I'm going to pray a blessing over you. But I want to say something to you, because some of you have made a lot of mistakes. I'm not talking about other people's mistakes against you. I'm saying that some of you have made some real mistakes. And your own heart wants to dismiss your success. And you don't feel you're worthy, or that you deserve God's love and His purpose. You know God will do these things through other people, but you don't know that He'll do it in you. And I want to say to you right now, though your sins be as scarlet, He will make them white as snow. Though you have fallen, though you have messed up, even 100 times, I pull it off you and I lift your heart and your head to go forward in the purpose of God. I call you a daughter of heaven, a son of heaven, and I say yes to the plans of God for your life. And nothing shall keep you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And nothing shall keep you from His purpose if you will hear and obey. If you've messed up, it will take more faith. And the biggest battle will be against your own condemning heart. Go beyond it now and take hold of God and go for the prize. Receive it. I speak it over you. Now in the name of Jesus, I bless you. I speak His peace and His care upon your life. I speak healing and strength to you, visitations of angels and dreams from heaven, encounters of supernatural activity from the Lord, special circumstances ordained by Him that show that his fingerprints are on your life and that you're moving in the eternal purposes of God. I release to you the blessings of God for you and for your family, for your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. I speak his kindness over you in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.